Genesis 39, beginning at verse 19. Genesis 39, beginning at verse 19. If you found it, if you ask that you would stand. If you haven't found it, if you just stand anyway. Amen. Genesis 39:19. And these are the words that we see. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner, did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. I've read Genesis 39, verses 19 through 23. I want to have a word of prayer. Again, our subject today is Staying in Faith, Part 2. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, Lord, once again for this opportunity to come into the house of the Lord, to sing praises unto your name, to pray unto you, O God, for the needs and desires that we have, and then, God, to share the word of God. Lord, this to your people, God. So, Lord, I ask that you allow a lodging place to be found for the word of God, that you will hide me, Lord, behind your cross. And I may speak words of encouragement and inspiration to your people. This we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
You may have your seats. Amen. Our story picks up after Joseph has spent a number of years in the house of Potiphar, one of the Egyptian executive staff members. And his wife had been chasing him around for many years. Joseph was a good-looking guy, young, and she just could not keep her hands off of him. It got to a point where she had set up a scenario where it was just he and her. And she chased him around the house, and he ran. And she grabbed onto his coat. And when she grabbed his coat, he jumped out of his coat and kept on running. And this is where we pick up the story with Joseph in verse 19. Because she began to say a few things that were not true. And so we're talking about staying in faith. If you desire to hear what that message was, I have a copy of that. I can send it to you by email. Part two is a little different from part one, so they're not particularly connected, but yet they are. And so life does not provide a straight line to your destiny. It's not an A to Z in one step. The pathway to your destiny is jagged, it's circular, and it's up and down. In other words, you're not just going to reach your destiny just because it's your destiny. It's going to take some time, some work, some effort, some desire, some perseverance to reach your destiny. Many start out strong and willing and desirous of reaching their destiny, but as they get to the midst of the journey of trying to get to their destiny, folks have a tendency to quit. Somebody say amen.
Some even falter, and some, because of outside the mitigating circumstances, don't make it to their destiny. And there's a lot of people who are disgruntled, who are depressed, because they have not been able to reach their destiny. They quit in the middle of the pathway. And so they feel bad. And they see other people doing it, and they wonder, why didn't I? But I want you to know that having faith and staying in faith is paramount to reaching where God has destined you to be. Amen. In our text, Joseph had a jagged journey toward his destiny. He was gifted in the area of interpreting dreams. The ability to interpret dreams is not a common gift. There's not a whole lot of people who are able to take your dream and interpret it so that you would know what the dream meant. It's sort of like interpreting tongues. When somebody is speaking in tongues, there are not many people who can interpret what that person is saying in tongues. But I want you to know that we all do have gifts. And our gift will make room for us. That's what the Bible declares. A gift that allows or causes us to be noticed and helps us to reach the person that we need to know. Gifts of help. How many of us have the gift of help? Amen. Or the gift of encouragement, or the gift of knowledge. You name it, your gift will make room for you. Amen. We see people who have made it in the world on one gift, and once they get there, they are set. They do all kinds of things. They write books, they're getting movies, they do all kinds of things. Some people are able to be a comedian, some are rappers. Well, you name it, that gift that they have, it enables them to get noticed, and when they get noticed, they start doing other things. Just think of Ice Cube, or think of how he was a rapper, now he's a movie star. Amen. He's owning parts of teams, and he's doing all kinds of things just because he had a gift. Amen. And so, praise God, persons who, because of your gift, connects us with the right person or the right persons that can move you to the next level. Sometimes our next move doesn't even seem to be a positive move. Amen. We are connected to some people, and we find ourselves in a situation that's not desirable. And what happens is that in that undesirable state, God raises us up out of it. Amen. And it becomes a blessing. Amen. So you got to watch God before you decide that it isn't God. Amen, somebody. If you have ever put together a puzzle, amen. That's what I liken walk in life to, like a puzzle. And if you ever have put together a puzzle, you will have a picture of that puzzle before you get started. Anybody put puzzles together before? When you put a puzzle together, you look at that picture, you look at the pieces, and you know what? You're saying to yourself, I don't know where to start, but I need to start somewhere. And you just take one piece out, put it down, and then you put another piece, and you put another piece. Sooner or later, they start connecting. Amen. And so this is what happens, praise God. You find these pieces of the puzzle, and sometimes some of the pieces of the puzzle don't seem like they're a part of the puzzle. You say, well, I'm going to pull this out over here on the side until I can see where it goes. Because I don't think it belongs here. I think somebody just dropped it in here by mistake. Amen. Doesn't have any of the colors that I need. And so, praise God, we find out that you know, a piece of the puzzle. Amen. There's maybe two or three pieces. We just put them to the side. But don't throw that piece of puzzle away. Because as you start putting the puzzle together, you'll find out that the piece does belong. Amen, somebody. The piece does belong. And without that piece of the puzzle would not be complete. And life is the same way. God has given you a vision of who you're going to be or what you're going to do. And then you go about living. Amen. Just go about living. You go through some experiences. Experiences, some of them are positive, some of them are negative. Some of them don't seem to fit into the dynamic of where you're going, but you have some experiences and your education. Sometimes we feel that our education is for one thing, but you know, God has given us the education to do something, amen, and it is a part of our destiny. Amen. Education is necessary. You got to know what you're doing. And so you're educated, you have relationships, people that you meet. Some are in your life for 5 minutes. Some are in your life for 5 months. Some are in your life for 5 years. Some are in your life forever. But they're relationships, and those relationships are a part of your life and a part of your journey. Amen. Then we experience tragedy. Amen. Things that happen that really throw us for a loop. Crisis in our life, but that crisis makes us stronger so that we're able to deal with issues as we go toward our destiny. Disappointments, amen, and failures. We started something, we could not finish it. We started something and we did not do well at it. We started something and it was a total failure. But you know what? That experience is something that's a part of our journey. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Some of the things, we lose some stuff. Sometimes we lose some stuff. And sometimes we gain some stuff in our journey. Amen. Some of the stuff that we lose, we probably don't need. We had it for a little while, but then we lost it. And then there's some things that weren't there when we got started. But as we travel on our journey, we find some more stuff. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we have negative and positive situations. And life circumstances on many occasions don't appear to be a part of our destiny. Amen, somebody. Amen. Stuff that have happened, don't wait a minute. God allowed that to happen. It doesn't feel like it's a part of my destiny. But if it doesn't fit in the scheme or vision you have, each situation or circumstance is like a piece of the puzzle. It has a purpose which joins your life together to reach your destiny. So don't ever think that what you have gone through is a hindrance. So many times we go through things and we say it was so negative, but it is a purpose, amen, towards your destiny. It belongs in the puzzle and it's something in your destiny. Don't start thinking about what you have gone through in the past now. You can start thinking about that a little bit later. But as we go on, praise God, we can take Joseph's life and we can put our lives in the same context as Joseph. Joseph ran afoul of a desirous woman. She said to herself, if I can't have him, nobody else can either. You ever heard that one before? You ever experienced that one before? If you experienced it, say amen. She screams bloody murder and causes Joseph to be cast into prison. And so we pick up the story that while he is in prison, the prison prospers because of Joseph's favor with God. Amen, somebody. There's things that happen to us that when we're in a negative situation, we have a positive outcome because of it. Joseph is in jail, but while he's in jail, he makes the most of it. He doesn't say, woe is me, I'm in jail. Woe is me, I did nothing wrong. Woe is me, oh my. But Joseph takes what he has and he makes it into lemonade. Oh, it was a bitter lemon to taste. But you know what? He didn't do anything wrong and he did the right thing. Anybody done the right thing and end up in the wrong situation? Yes. Amen, somebody. And so what happens is when you get there, don't look back at the fact that I didn't do anything wrong and be bitter about it. Just say, God, I know that you have a plan for my life. I know, God, that you have made up your mind about me. You showed me the vision. I don't know how it works and how it fits in, but I'm going to make the most of this situation. Somebody shout hallelujah. And so for my first point, I'm not going to be with you very long. Always maintain a good attitude during bad situations. For the vision is true. The vision is true that God has given to you. So make have a good attitude while you're in your bad situation. Joseph has gone from the pit to being a servant and now in prison. But Joseph's faith spurred a righteous attitude toward negative situations. In each of these stops, it was a piece of the puzzle that God was perfecting in him so that when he reached his destiny as one, first of all, as the second in command of the Egyptian Empire, two, that he saved the entire world from famine by having the ability to interpret the Pharaoh's dream so that he was able to put the abundance that was received over the first 7 years used in the second 7 years of famine. And thirdly, the most important part of his destiny was to bring his family down to Egypt as God had declared. At 400 years they would be in Egypt, and then they would leave Egypt, and then they would go to the promised land. While they were in Egypt, amen, they prospered. When they came down from Canaan, amen, the children of Israel was comprised of 70 men, 70 people in their family. When they left Egypt, they left with 2 million. They prospered while they was in Egypt. And so, praise God, in each one of these steps is a piece of the puzzle that God perfected him. He had humility. He had confidence that God was with him and gave God all the glory in every instance that he was able to give it. Oh, you can hear him, praise God, when they called him out of jail to stand before Pharaoh. They cleaned him up. They shaved him. Amen. And when he stood before Pharaoh, the Bible declares that he gave all the glory to God. He said, God has given me the interpretation of your dream. And this is your interpretation. He didn't say it was all me. He didn't say it was because of me. He wasn't saying that my gift has given you the interpretation of the dream. But he said, God has given me the interpretation of the dream. And so he gave God all the glory. In Isaiah 26:3, it says it the best. He says, he will keep you in perfect peace. Perfect peace, whose mind is staying on God. The Bible says, on thee. I'm just putting God in there so that you would know who thee is. Because he trusted in God. Well, my brothers and sisters, when you get into a situation, You ought to be able, praise God, to keep your mind on God. It is the peace of God that keeps your mind focused on the things that you need to do. You ought to, praise God, keep your mind on God because you trust in Him, you believe in Him, and you understand that God is going to bring you out, amen, at the right time, doing the right thing, and being the right type of person. Somebody say amen. Have faith and believe that God has all things planned out for your good. I don't know about you, but sometimes when we get into situations, we don't think that nothing good is going to come out of it. But when we give God the praise, amen, when we are a servant of the Most High God, when we believe that God is able, amen, then, praise God, we will understand that God has planned all things for our good. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on the behalf of them whose hearts are perfect toward Him." Praise be unto God. Amen. I'm not standing by myself, but God's eyes are looking for situations where His glory shall be seen. How many situations have you been in? Hallelujah. You were concerned about it as you were going through it. Amen. You were concerned. You were thinking about the worst. But praise be unto God, if we don't remember this verse, "For the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout all the earth." Oh, praise be unto God. I don't have to, praise God, recognize that I got to be by myself on this one. But God is looking, amen, to show out. And hallelujah. And to be strong. I don't hear nobody saying hallelujah. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, "For we know that all things work together for the good." Oh, when you begin to understand that, amen, that when you're in your situation, praise be unto God, when you're in your situation, God is working things out on your behalf. Understand that God is working it out on our behalf. Praise be unto God. He says, "For them for work together for the good, for them that love God and those who are called according to His purpose." How many do we have here in the house of God? Though we be few, how many of us, amen, are called according to His purpose? Raise your hand. Hallelujah. Shout, yeah! Second point is, God is with you. Just trust the vision. Verse 21 says that God was with Joseph. "Likewise, because of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we can say that God will never leave us nor forsake us." We can say what it says in Hebrews 13:5, and it confirms it. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have." Don't worry about what you don't have. Thank God for what you do have. Because what you do have, God can touch it and make it more. God can touch it and bless it in a mighty way. God can touch it and make it abundant. But don't worry about what you don't have. Be concerned about only what you do have and how you can use it for the glory of the Lord. But he goes on to say, "But I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Oh, that's some comforting words when you begin to walk down some dark alleys. I'm not talking about literal dark alleys, but I'm talking about it figuratively. When things, praise God, don't seem to be going in your direction. When things look like they're going in a dark way. When things, praise God, seem like they're missing what it was that you were looking for. And you're going down. And praise be unto God, you're worried about whether or not you're going to be able to get to the other side. But the Bible declares that He'll never leave thee
nor forsake thee. And that's a wonderful comforting word on today. Joseph learned that God was with him. His hands turned everything he touched into gold. It was during those difficult situations. And my brothers and sisters, God doesn't turn things around. Amen. Always when things are going nice and good. It's during those difficult times. Somebody ought to hear me on today. It's during those difficult times. Amen. That when God begins to move on your behalf, it's during those difficult times while you're straining, while you're trying to stand up underneath that burden, that God gives you the strength and lets you know that you got what it takes. Hallelujah, somebody. It's during those difficult times, in the midst of trying situations. Anybody been in a trying situation lately when it tested your patience, tested your fortitude, even tested your Christianity? What I want you to know, praise God, during those trying times, and even in the unfair situations, right in the midst of unfair situations, stuff that you didn't do, but now you're being punished, stuff that you didn't do, but now you got to walk through the difficult faces. I want you to know, praise God, that Joseph learned that, amen, as believers, we are never in the midst of this thing by ourselves. Somebody ought to say amen. So we've talked about, amen, always maintain a good attitude during bad situations, for the vision is true. Secondly, we talked about God is with you. Just trust the vision. And finally, handle your business appropriately to show that you believe the vision. It's show and tell.
Yeah.
It's not to, praise God, just the fact that you tell somebody, but now you got to live it. Here's Joseph. Joseph had a particular gift. His gift was interpreting dreams. But while he was in Potiphar's house, and while he was in the prison, he learned management skills, and he learned administrative skills. He learned those skills while he was under duress. He learned those skills while he was in a difficult situation. He learned those skills when things weren't going pretty fair for him. He still learned what he had to learn while he was in the midst of a desperate situation. But what got him noticed, it wasn't, praise God, of his great administrative skills. And it wasn't the fact that he was able to keep Potiphar's house, amen, in a great order, so that Potiphar's house began to be abundant and prosper. It wasn't his administrative skills that got him noticed. It wasn't his great management skills that he learned while he was in the prison. It wasn't the fact that he was able to put the prisoners in the right locations and that everything was in place, amen, while he was in prison. It wasn't his measurement skills that got him noticed. It was the gift from God that got him noticed. It was the gift to interpret dreams that got him noticed. The Bible declares, amen, that while he was in prison, amen, the banker and the cupbearer, thank you. The cupbearer came, amen. They were put in prison, and they had dreams, and he interpreted their dreams. One of them, praise God, lost his head. The other one went back to his position. And while they were in the prison, and after he had interpreted their dreams, amen, the Bible declares that he asked them to tell, amen, somebody that he interpreted their dreams. And so, praise God, when they got back to where they were, they seemingly had forgotten. They seemingly had forgotten. And then the Pharaoh had this dream. It was an awesome dream.
And as he dreamt it, he was suddenly concerned about the dream. You ever had a dream that you was concerned about? Have you ever had a dream that you begin to wonder about? Did you ever have a dream that you begin to ask God, what does this dream mean? Oh, so Pharaoh asked all of his men, the ones that were prophesying, the ones that are supposed to be fortune tellers, he asked them all, what did my dream mean? Yeah. Nobody could come up with an answer. And the Pharaoh threatened them. He said, if you don't come up with the interpretation of the dream, you shall lose your head. Oh, they began to quake and shake. They began to wonder what they could do. And then somebody spoke up. I believe it was the cupbearer. The cupbearer spoke up. And he said, I know somebody who can interpret your dream. Oh, I want you to know that somebody is always watching you. Somebody is always observing you. Somebody is looking at what you do and how you do it and whether or not you're doing it with excellence, whether or not you're doing it with joy, whether or not you're doing it with accuracy. Somebody is always watching you. Watching you. Watching you. And so here is Pharaoh calling for Joseph after he has been told that this man could interpret his dream. And when Joseph stood before him, Joseph spoke and he told him what the dream meant. Both of them, one that dealt with the bulls and one that dealt with the goats. It was the dreaming and the interpreting of the dreams that got Joseph noticed. It propelled him to a new height and a new level. It enabled him to stand right next to the king. The Pharaoh said that there was no one greater than in the land except for the Pharaoh himself. He gave the ring. He gave him the chariot. He gave him a wife. He gave him the whole package. What a fantastic package to receive. Amen. Many of us would like to have gotten that kind of package. Amen. A package, a hiring package where, amen, everything was taken care of. You got a house, you got a chariot, you got a wife. Beautiful wife.
Amen.
But it would not have met his destiny just to be second in command. It would not, his destiny would not have been fulfilled if it was just that he was second in command. The fact that he was in Potiphar's house, the fact that he was in prison, and that he learned administrative skills, and he learned management skills, when he got to being the second in command, now he could administrate and manage the gold and the project that the king, Pharaoh, had given to him. It enabled him to stay in prominence for the rest of his life because he learned everything he learned, amen, when it was time to learn it. Don't ever think that you're learning something that you're not going to be able to use. Don't ever think that you're learning something that just doesn't make sense. Everything that you learn, every issue that you go through, every concern and situation you got to move through, every circumstance has a reason in your life because it's going to be a part of your destiny. The Bible says in James 1 and 17, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. Don't think somebody is doing something special for you. They are being led by the Spirit of the Most High God. They might not even know who it is or what it is. They just see the anointing on you. They just understand that you are somebody special. Do we have any special people here in the house of the Lord today? Shout hallelujah. Don't be ashamed of the fact that you're special. Special. Special because of the anointing. Special because of the knowledge that God has given you. Special because of your management skills and your administrative skills and all the skills that you have. Every skill you have.